Today's scripture reading is from 1 Kings 17, verses 17 through 24. It's on page 309 in your pew Bible or 324 in the large print Bible. And this section is called Elijah Revives the Widow's Son. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." The word of the Lord.
The gospel lesson. This is the word of God in the midst of the people of God. If you are comfortable, able, and willing, and it is your desire, let's stand for the gospel. This is Luke 7, beginning with verse 11. Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know what a pericope is? A pericope is kind of churchy people use the term, and it refers the story in Luke, a pericope. The pericope that we heard was the story about the widow and her son, and Jesus bringing him back to life. We don't hear what happened before, we don't hear what happened after, because they don't really tie in with that particular encompassed narrative, that one pericope. So now you know, now you can go and impress your friends, say, "Well, we explored the pericope of Luke today." But you got to remember what it means, and you got to be able to explain it. So the reason I lift it is because we have... Last week, we heard the pericope about Elijah and the priests and the offerings. Remember? And I'll remind us all of that in just a minute. Today, we're actually jumping back a chapter. That was 1 Kings 18. We're jumping back to 1 Kings 17. And there are all kinds of things. There are four different pericopes. And then there's an overarching sort of thing. And sometimes when we've heard all the stories in the different chunks, we don't put them all together. So today I'm going to try and put that together in an order and let you see an important piece of what's happening in 1 Kings. At the very beginning of 1 Kings 17, we hear about this Elijah the Tishbite. He's of Tishbe in Gilead. And he goes to the king. He is a firm and valiant... Elijah is one of the great heroes of the Hebrew people, and he goes to King Ahab, and King Ahab was a decent king until he married Jezebel. And Jezebel, she began to, instead of worshiping Yahweh, Lord God, she began to worship Baal and Asherah. And not only that, but she's setting up temples for them. She has 450 priests serving it, so it's becoming the religion of the place, and it's quite the thing. And people being who they are, they kind of go along with the crowd. So when everybody all of a sudden has bumper stickers to Baal, they're all jumping in and jumping in the same boat. Anyway, Elijah goes to King Ahab and he says, "As the Lord of God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him saying, "Go from there and turn eastward, hide yourself by the Wadi Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I shall command the ravens to feed you there." I have some ravens live down by me off Utah Park. None of them have offered to feed me nothing. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I don't need anything. God is calling on a drought. God is not blessing this kingdom because they are turning to Asherah and Baal. And so a drought now comes over the land. We know what a drought is. You know what a drought is? We are not in a drought. Amen. After a while, the Wadi dried up because there was no rain in the land. So then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "I have commanded a widow there to feed you." I read that to the kids, didn't I? You heard that? He sends him to the... And he sends word ahead. He says, "I have commanded the widow to feed you." So she should be expecting him. And he gets there. I don't hear that she's expecting him. She says, "As the Lord of your God lives, I have nothing baked. Only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug, and I'm now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for my son and myself, that we might eat it and die." She doesn't sound very happy. She doesn't sound very... In a lot of ways, she sounds like one of those dramatists saying, "Oh, poor me." But on the other side of the coin, she has no resources. She has nothing whatsoever. And isn't it an interesting story, because we heard the same basic thing happen when Jesus goes to Nain. He goes and he finds a woman who's a widow, whose son has died. And she raises the son, and the people are astonished and they respond. Now you think about that and you think, well, that widow of... By the way, the name of the widow of Zarephath, her name is the widow of Zarephath. Yeah, there isn't anything more I can do there. I hunted and pecked, and nobody can tie that together. So this unnamed widow, there are no resources. In that day and age, widows had no voice. The only voice that women, the only voice you had was through your husbands. The only rights to property you had was through your husbands. The only way to appeal something was through your husbands. Grateful God that it's not the same now. We have justice. Widows and orphans and aliens all were people, persons non grata, persons that didn't count, persons that were outsiders, persons that could be ignored and left to die with nobody caring. We talked several weeks ago about Joel Green, the Reverend Dr. Joel Green. He's a professor at Fuller in Pasadena. We were talking about the scales. Remember, liberty, justice, Lady Justice was holding the scales blindfolded, and that everybody's equal. But Joel Green says that not everybody's equal. There's a special place in God's heart for widows and orphans and aliens. God shows partiality. And if we look at our scriptures, if we'd read the Bible and really look at it, God shows partiality. Those who are underfoot, those who are being abused, those who are without power, God shows partiality. That's all right, that's all right. We heard the two stories, though. Here's the one. Elijah was the widow in Zarephath. Jesus with the widow in Nain. The stories are almost identical. Did you notice that? I picked them and set them side by side, hoping you could see that similarity. We're reading out of Luke. Luke was dealing with a congregation of Jewish Christians, Jews that were debating Christianity, trying to figure out whether this Christ, this Jesus was the Christ, trying to come on board, and Luke is giving them more nudging all the time. And so he turns to the great hero Elijah, and the story of the widow. And he knows that everybody knows that. Everybody knows that story just as clearly as everybody knows that Muhammad Ali said, sting like a bee, fly like a... I can't get the start of it. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Mark, you worked me hurt too hard yesterday. Some heat stroke here. But everybody would know that story. It's a piece of the common knowledge. Elijah and the widow, and so here's Jesus. Here's Luke telling that story about Jesus saying, look, he is this miraculous and more. And this is how God works in the world. It works. The Hebrew God, Yahweh Elohim, is the same God that we gather under Jesus Christ. And God cares for humans. God is with us. The priest of Baal, some of you might not have been here, so the priests of Baal, they're all having a good old time, but Elijah's just won against 450. Then he says, I'll challenge you to this contest. We're going to make two offerings, get them all set up, but we won't light them. We'll let our gods do the lighting. And the one who succeeds will be the greater God. So they're on. All morning long, the priests of Baal limp around their offering, praying to Baal to light it on fire. Nothing happens. And Elijah calls upon God, and God breathes down and devours the bull and the wood and the stones and the dust and the water that Elijah soaked it in. Proof. And then the people, knowing who won and who lost, the losing priests are sacrificed in the wadi. That story is down the way. Now we come to the last story in the journey of Elijah. We come to the story, Elijah goes to Ahab. He says, go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of rushing rain. Did you remember it was a drought? Had you forgotten we were in a drought? Had you forgotten that he had to go to the ravens to be fed? Had you forgotten the widow? Had you forgotten that God is punishing them? And so Elijah says, go up and drink, for there's a sound of rushing rain. King Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up on the top of Carmel. There he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And the servant went and looked and said, there is nothing. Then Elijah said, go again seven times. And the seventh time the servant said, look, a little cloud no bigger than a person's hand is rising out of the sea. And Elijah said, go and say to King Ahab, harness your chariots and go down before the rain stops. In a little while the heavens grew dark, the clouds black, and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And Ahab got in his chariot and rode off and went to Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and Elijah girded his loins and ran in front of Ahab to the entrance to Jezreel. God brought an end to the drought. And it is here that Elijah will confront Ahab and Jezebel, and God will replace them as rulers over the Jewish peoples. Rain. God brings the rain. That's one piece of the story. And in the middle of that are three individual pericopes. And we've heard them all. We heard all of them. And now we've kind of heard them finally in sequence. But this business about beginning with a drought and ending with the rains. There's a piece that we ought to pay attention to here. There's a woman. This is the woman that Elijah is with. And he turns to her and she said, are you punishing me for my sins? We don't know her sins. We don't know what she did. We don't know what it was that she's confessing. But she's admitting that she has indeed transgressed. Those of you who are without sin, who are perfect, you can go ahead and get up and leave and head in, and we'll join you for lunch in a minute. The rest of us need to stay a minute. Got that taken care of? Okay, all right. You're all in the same boat as I am. We all have sins that we could be reminded of. And the woman's reminded of that, and she says, "Is that why my son must die?" It's retributional theology. It's the belief that something bad happens because you've sinned, or one of your ancestors has sinned, even unto the seventh generation. You recall those things? Jesus unpacked that. You remember John 9, the ninth chapter of John, Jesus was walking along and he saw a blind man. Blind from birth. And his disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that this man was born blind?" And he said, "Neither one. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God could demonstrate his works through him." So it is not always that we have done something bad and being punished. Sometimes droughts happen. Sometimes cancer happens. Sometimes Parkinson happens. Sometimes kids get a hold of guns. Sometimes traffic accidents happen. Sometimes airplanes crash. And yet God is with God's people through all of those. Through all of that, we can trust that living or dying, that we are in the Lord's hands, and we turn back to God. And we know that the drought will be followed by the rain, and the rain is God's love upon humanity. This is that incredible message of God's love for all humans. We know he's partial to widows, orphans, and servant of those aliens in our midst, but God loves us immeasurably as well. God loves each of us, cares for us, and God's love always wins out. Elijah didn't die. He was scooped up by a chariot into heaven. Is Jesus the Elijah that returns? Is he God's representative of that? He admitted as much. And God, through Christ, with us. God with me, God with you, God with all humanity. Amen.